When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sir Huck, captain of the Order of Scraps Disposal.
And Ladybug is just... Oh, that was her. She's like, hey, I'm Marinette. It's good to meet you.
I don't know. I don't remember my own name.
What's up, everybody? My name's Joe, host of the Lightweights podcast. Today, we have a voiceover legend, Christina V.
After that year, I think it was 2022, I did 400 sessions that year.
That's not what I meant! Now get me out of this thing, would ya? I can already feel my rump roasting!
I'm Sir Huck.
You probably know her from Sailor Moon, Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, League of Legends, Hunter x Hunter. Her IMDb credits at this time stands at 497 shows. That's not even including episodes. Some shows have 137 episodes. This person has worked so much.
We have a big Verossica heavy episode coming up, I think, in summer.
So if you haven't yet, give this video a like. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you're notified the very next episode. We're almost at 30,000 subscribers. And here's a sneak peek at someone who's coming on the podcast. So without further ado, Christina V. How crazy is it that you grew up watching Sailor Moon and you're on it?
It's wild. That was kind of a delayed realization for me. Not a realization. What I'm trying to say is I didn't let myself feel that until, like, we were done.
Until you saw it on TV?
Until, like, we had, like, the older series dubbed.
No! Oh, it's okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, it's crazy. I'm very, very thinking about that, like, growing up. I was the Sailor Moon girl, you know?
And then starting the anime club, was that kind of... Because you started in high school, yeah. Right? Your favorite show was always Sailor Moon?
Yes. And Pokemon. I loved Pokemon when I was a kid. I liked the games.
Who was your favorite Pokemon?
Bulbasaur.
Oh, still forever. I was always a Pikachu guy.
I love Pikachu.
And then Charmander. Do you remember when the red and blue versions came out on Game Boy?
Yes.
Which one did you get?
Blue.
Yeah. Bulbasaur.
Obviously. Bulbasaur. Yeah, that's right.
So are you going to be at Level Up next weekend?
I am. I'm so excited.
This is going to be my first one that I've ever gone to because I'm going to be filming for Hell of a Boss.
Yeah.
And has been. What can I expect from a...
Lines.
Crazy amount?
I mean, lately, like post-pandemic, it's been crazy. Like crazy lines for lots of the voiceover actors, especially now with Has-Been out. Like a lot of people found Hell of a Boss through Has-Been. And so lately, since Has-Been Hotel, the long lines have gotten even longer, which is amazing. Lots of lines, lots of cosplay. It's Las Vegas, so there's an added element. And I'm just excited to see all of the cast, especially from, I mean, in Hell of a Boss 2, but Has-Been Hotel. I love Broadway, and it's just like a bunch of Broadway actors, and I really love them so much.
You're a convention veteran.
Yes.
What's the longest you've ever been at a convention signing?
The longest continuous line without breaks was 7 hours.
You just sat there for 7 hours?
7 hours.
Wow.
That was Long Beach last year.
What's that like when you get to meet the people watching your shows who love your work?
There's two aspects to it. I want to be completely present with everybody. So we'll run to the bathroom and stuff, but we won't take breaks. And I don't want to keep them waiting. But what happens is, like, it's really, like, mentally... Because I feel like you give a little piece of yourself to everybody. And I want that. You know, that's why I'm there. It's a lot of emotions, a lot of exchange of emotions. I feel like I can't... Like, some things I don't let myself think about, but I feel very, like, grateful and just touched by hearing everybody's stories. Like, that's my favorite part, is hearing how people found the show or what it meant for them. And it's that, you know, for all day, every day, every week, almost every weekend. It's pretty intense. It's crazy.
Do you get the same feeling from when you had your first convention to now, maybe when your lines were a little smaller?
My first conventions, when I had smaller lines, it was very much like, oh my God. It's hard when you have, you know, not the enough credits, I guess, because the waiting, if there's a downtime, that's a lot harder than being with people and engaging.
You said that meeting everybody was your favorite part, but do you look forward to like the Q&A panel more or actually having that one-on-one time? Like, what's the most fulfilling part for you as an actress?
You know, panels are fun, but I really enjoy having like the one-on-one conversations with people at the table more, you know. But sometimes if it's like a group panel, it's fun to hear the other actors' stories as well.
Having that one-on-one time, you have almost 500 credits on IMDb of different shows.
Yes.
It's not even episodes.
Yes.
Do people come up to you and are you ever surprised at the show that they are there for you for?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I forgot about that one. Or I'll be like, hey, can you remind me who I played in this? You know, I always love when people bring the kind of like the smaller, more obscure titles. It's just fun to see what people bring, like the DVDs or the games or the plushies.
When you see people dressed up in cosplay, is that so surreal that you're like physically seeing them now?
Yeah, especially like the really intricate ones. We get a lot of Hell of a Boss cosplays now, and people come head to toe in pink and like these huge stiletto heels and like with the wig. And it's always so cool to see, especially when they say, oh, I made this cosplay because I knew you were going to be here. And that's just so touching.
What was your first thoughts when you saw Hell of a Boss?
I was so thrilled about all the cussing. Because I'm episode 3. So I had my script before I saw anything else. Can you believe this? You know, my big role is Ladybug, which is a kid's show. So when I was reading this script, one of her lines is, I'm not a pet. Please bleep that. I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing, Viv. I'm here for it. I'm 100% committed to this. It's so much fun. And getting to sing in that and to see, I think that's the first time something's been animated to me singing. Like, I've dubbed songs before, but that was the first time seeing something animated to me singing.
You haven't done other songs before for shows like that?
I have, but it would be like in an anime, so it was already like there was already the animation. We're dubbing over that, you know, or it would be like a theme song or ending song or an insert song, but nothing ever like I'm the lead vocalist and we're animating this character to sing.
For the process of your animations with a show like Hell of a Boss, do you do the voiceover first and then they draw to it?
Yes.
And when you're doing a conversation with another character like Blitz, are you doing it to a scratch track where just a random person's doing Blitzes so that you can bounce back? Or is Blitz in the booth with you?
Oh, I wish. That's the one part that COVID took away from us is we haven't gone back. I haven't done any group records in person since before COVID, like 5 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So for those sessions, Richard, the director, would read Blitz's lines and I would react to his. Because he knows how the delivery goes, you know.
How many takes for you to do a line?
I think ideally you want it in one or two. I think, you know, sometimes you have to like redo it a couple times, but usually it's just like really fast and usually one or two takes is the ideal.
I still am so blown away at how many credits you have for all the shows
Thank you.
What's the prep work for you to do a show now versus how it was in the beginning?
A lot less.
I imagine you don't have too much time to.
Before I would be like, I need to watch the show and read the books and everything, which are good things to do. But now I don't have any time for that. So a lot of time, I mean, when you're voiceover, sometimes they'll send you a script, but mostly it's you go in, it's all cold reading.
What does that mean?
That means you haven't seen it before and it's time to act. And you become very good at that, you know. Again, like there really is only time for one or two takes on some of these projects. So you have to get really good at reading on the spot. Like I just recorded a video game yesterday and I was thinking about this because when I was younger starting out, I was, you know, so in my head about like, I need to get this, I need to act this right. And now I'm just acting it and I'm reading the line and I'm acting it. Like, that was great. I'm like, thanks. It just is so automatic now almost. It's like a muscle.
And how do you figure out the character? Is there just a description of like 14-year-old boy going through this, kind of sad, blah, 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 blah?
So for anime and sometimes video games, you will get a picture and a description, like a little blurb. And then you will just do your take on that. And sometimes when you get in the booth, they'll adjust and give you more information about it, definitely. But most of the time, it's just You see, hopefully you have a picture. If I don't have a picture, I get a little thrown off because everything for me is really visual. But yeah, the pictures really inform me.
So when you get the character for Hell of a Boss, do you kind of go in with two different options to play around?
So Hell of a Boss was a little different because I didn't audition. I did audition for a couple characters when they first came around, but I didn't book them. And then my agent said that they had a role offer for me, and it was Brassica. And then I asked for a picture. I'm like, oh my God, she's amazing.
And immediately you knew exactly what she was going to sound like?
I had no idea. I was a little nervous because, you know, not auditioning. I'm like, I hope they like it. But yeah, we went into the booth and we came up with the voice. And it's just basically me.
What kind of prep work goes into you for doing that?
Oh, man, it's just mental. It's like, all right, let's do it. We're going to go have fun. It's going to be great.
Do you stay away from dairy or do vocal exercises prior?
I do vocal exercises. Definitely. I mean, I drink milk in my coffee every day. Definitely no alcohol the night before. It makes such a big difference. If I have even one just little glass of wine, my voice is so husky. So no alcohol. No alcohol, definitely no smoking. And those are just lifestyle things that you can do it, but it changes your voice.
And I know fitness is pretty important to you.
Yes.
Do you think that having strong cardio affects that as well and helps work in your favor?
I think it probably does. But for me, the fitness it's more about mental health. It makes me feel good in my body. It makes, you know, obviously the endorphins and just having that routine and doing something that's really hard every day and feeling like, oh my God, I did that. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. I can do anything. You know, that's how I feel.
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweight's podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. And with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's a day in the life look like for you?
Oh my gosh.
Do you need to answer it?
No.
Okay.
A day in the life. It's pretty crazy. I'm going to be real with you. I travel a lot. I just did a 5 convention stint, like back to back every week for 5 weeks. And so,
and these conventions aren't like you're there for an hour.
No, I'm there. I'm usually like I leave Thursday, I come back Sunday night, and then it's 3 full days of signing. So I wake up in the morning. I do my auditions if I have any. I usually do. That's like at 9 a.m. By 10, I'm probably out the door on my way back to this area to do some sessions. I will. I have a personal trainer. If I have time, I will go to his place in Century City, drive back down. I usually have an afternoon session, and then night times I relax. And then if it's, you know, Wednesday, I'm packing, and then I'm out the door on Thursday. It's nonstop.
And then convention time is straight convention time,
it's
morning till night?
Yes. But the nights are fun, too, because, you're in a new city, and we always go out. I bring my best friend with me. She's my convention manager, and we always, like, go to like the nicest, bougiest restaurants and go on like ghost tours and stuff. So we make the most of it. It's really great. Wow. Yeah. Get to see all the sights. Can I grab Hawk?
Yeah, please.
I've been thinking about him. Look at this.
There's so many figures of your characters. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. There's so many.
I just broke him.
Do you have a favorite character that you've done?
I have favorites for a couple reasons. Like, he was the most fun to play.
Hawk. From
Seven Deadly Sins. He's so funny. The voice is fun. But I think, like, Killua has opened a lot of doors for me. And Ladybug, definitely. Like, that's a dream. I was telling the director that I feel like I have the best voice acting job with her. Like, just the amount of people that show reaches all over the world and watching it grow from like an indie project basically to like this huge global thing and getting to do the movie and go to Paris. And it's been really crazy. Like that was when I was a kid, like I could only dream of having a role like Marinette, Ladybug. So it's been crazy to have been doing it now for so long, and it's still growing, you know?
Can you channel Hawk and Ladybug just like that?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yay, thank you. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, please do it.
As Hawk goes, I'm Sir Hawk, captain of the Order of Scraps Disposal. And Ladybug is just, that was her. She's like, hey, I'm Marinette. It's good to meet you.
And then can you do Killua?
Oh, sure. He's a little harder, though, because I don't really know what he says. People tell me quotes to write, and then I found out that the one I've been saying all this time, I've been saying it wrong. But but that one was a little bit longer ago. And that show is interesting because it just blew up in the past like 3 years.
The Hunter Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it since, 2016, I think.
Can you bring the mic a little closer?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
I've been doing Hunter Hunter since like 2016. But it wasn't until after the pandemic where people started showing up like, oh, I love Hunter Hunter. I'm like, that's so crazy.
Why do you think a show like that picks up later on?
I think we all had a lot of free time during the pandemic. And I think a lot of like people started watching anime and, you know, playing video games. And I think that's why everything kind of picked up after. Excuse me. I feel bad about that Killua.
About the what?
This guy. Where'd he go? There he is. He's fine.
Is there anything that you do to train and sustain your voice for a long-term career?
So vocal warm-ups are very important. I used to have a singing coach. I need to get back into that. But I also recently, again, started taking acting classes. I'd stopped because of the pandemic. But now I'm back in class. And again, I think just the working out and eating healthy. Like, I know it's all so cliche, but it's so true. It makes such a big difference. Staying away from alcohol as much as possible, and smoking definitely not, and those all contribute to healthy vocal cords. concerts.
So when you go to a concert, can you not be the one screaming in the crowd because you'll blow out your voice?
Yeah, I can. I have annoying habits, actually. Like, I heard, like, instead of screaming, you should sing.
Wait, oh, like actually sing the song?
No, like... Like on roller coasters, like don't go, ah, go, ah, you know?
Do you do that?
Yeah. It just has become second nature. It's really silly.
Singing in the car, do you do that?
Oh my God. I like scream in the car. Sing, like belt scream. Yeah. I have no chill.
You do a lot of translations. Have you started to learn and understand Japanese?
Yeah, I can get around in Japan. I'm not by any means fluent, but I can ask for directions and get directions and buy stuff and things like that. Like very conversational Japanese.
Is there a dream franchise that you'd want to be part of?
I am not in Persona. I want to be in Persona really bad. And also Guilty Gear. And also Dragon Ball. I've never been in a Dragon Ball Z anime. I feel like I'm sinking slowly into the couch.
Yeah, it's quicksand couch. When you were in Mortal Kombat, was that cool?
Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat.
That's one of my favorites.
Did you play the new one?
No, not yet.
Okay, I haven't played it either. But...
Did you see the new movie?
I loved it.
So good.
It was so good.
They're supposed to make a trilogy out of that.
Are they?
There was originally. I don't know what's going on.
It hasn't happened. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Me too. Characters are really good.
I loved that movie. So that was another role I didn't audition for. I still don't know how I got that role, but I'm very happy I did. And all they told me was, we need you to come in and do battle efforts. And I was like, okay, like, what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, I knew what battle efforts are, but I'm like, only the battle efforts?
Can you explain what that is?
So the battle efforts are when you're playing a fighting game, all the ha, ya, ga, ah, like the screaming and the yelling and like all the physical grunts and stuff and the screeches for this character because she's a harpy vampire. And all they told me was we have a celebrity doing the voice and we need you to fill in the battle efforts, the endgame battle efforts for the celebrity. They didn't tell me who it was. I was like, yeah, of course. So I just did it. And it was really fun, like to do like the fatalities and get electrocuted and get like, you know, sawed in half or whatever.
How do you do the sound effect for being sawed in half?
Oh, my God. It was a lot of screaming. It was a lot of screaming and a lot of screeching, too, which, you know, I'm really happy I can do that with my voice.
And do you have that control to not blow your voice out? Your limits?
I do. But sometimes you just have to go for it. Like, I won't do that all the time. But for a game like this, like, I want to give it my all. But they were actually really, like, taking care of me. After a while, they're like, hey, thank you so much. You've done enough screeching. Like, thank you. So the really good directors will take care of you and listen for that, for vocal strain. But I've definitely blown out my voice on other projects. I had no idea. 2 years passed, and I was like, this game's going to come out eventually. It wasn't even announced back then. And the Megan Fox trailer came out. I'm like, it was Megan Fox this whole time? Like, I get to be her voice double? That is crazy. Oh, my God. I love her. I'm like blushing. She's so cool.
You've done a lot of sound effects, too, for movies like Geostorm and The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Yeah. Were you the dubs for those as well, of any actresses that you were a fan of?
So for The Mummy, there were a group of ladies that they brought in, and we all doubled her voice for The Mummy. And I haven't seen the movie, but in the trailer, I heard them using my screams for her screams. So I got to dub Sofia Boutella.
That's so cool.
It was so cool. I loved doing that.
Have you ever done a Jurassic Park dinosaur? That'd be cool.
That would be cool. That would be awesome.
Did you start your whole career just dubbing your own videos online 15 years ago?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. When I was longer than 15 years.
18? 20?
Oh, man. Before I got like my first audition, I was doing it when I was like 12. I just knew what I wanted to do. So we would do like Sailor Moon. We would dub Sailor Moon and other shows like that. And
where were you throwing those videos up?
Oh, man. There were message boards for like aspiring voice actors. And that's all we really had before, because this was before YouTube. It was so long ago. But we would just post them on boards and then people would comment like, that was really great. And, you know, we're all like kids. Like, I think you should work on your breath control and some, you know, things like that. And that's how I started doing it. And, you know, years later, a lot of the major voiceover actors now, we are all on this board coming up together. I wonder if there's something like that now.
There must be.
There must be a Reddit or something. But now everything's on YouTube and TikTok.
Did you ever upload your videos to YouTube back then?
Yes.
And that was before you started landing roles.
Yeah, it helped me land roles.
So did you know to leverage the internet in your favor? It all just happened
It was all brand new. I started uploading songs to YouTube, just like I just love doing them. And it was for that board, like, oh, this is an easier way. Like everybody could just click and wow, it's streaming. You don't have to download it. So I did that. And I had some songs go like kind of like viral to the point where I would be in like a coffee shop and people would be playing my songs. Like, have you heard this like English version of this Haruhi Suzumiya song? I'm like, oh my God, that's me. And I would have these songs, I'd post them, and they would like get hundreds of thousands of views like overnight. It was really insane and crazy.
How'd that make you feel at that time that people were finding your stuff?
I was so excited. Like, it was a really good feeling. Still to this day, like, creating music, like, that's the only thing in my life where I have like complete creative control over, you know? So that's what I was experiencing back then before I was booking voiceover work.
At what point did you switch from wanting to be the animator to the voiceover?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I think I've always just loved animation, and I was always doing both. But, oh, man, I wish I could tell you when I switched over. I really don't know. It just kind of happened gradually, I think.
And then you just fell in love with the art of voice acting, and you realized you had a talent for it?
I mean, I wasn't very good when I was starting out, to be honest. Like, I had a really thick, like, I only speak English, really. But I have, like, a really thick accent. And I still have it. And it just kind of is what makes my voice my voice. But at the beginning, like, people were like, you need to, like, work on your accent. I'm like, what accent? I grew up in California. I'll figure it out. You know?
Right, my accent. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Accent. But, yeah, I worked with a vocal coach. Who was awesome, PJ Auckland. And he was really great because he was like, hey, you don't have an accent, but we can make some of like your sounds that your mouth makes a little bit more to what people are used to hearing. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do that. But he was very sweet about being like, never lose like your uniqueness, but in case they ask you to, here's what you can do, you know?
Yeah. So it was a lot of training to really work on that?
It was just honestly, it was, I went to him like twice. And what I ended up doing was learning how to speak with a British RP accent, received pronunciation.
What's an RP?
RP is like the very, I don't want to do it in case they're watching, but like the very like royal family, like everything's crisp and articulated and just like beautifully worded. And then I pulled it down from there and I haven't received that note at all since then.
Doing over 500 shows.
Yes.
Do they pay out royalty checks for stuff like that? It doesn't work on animation?
Oh. Okay. Not for the anime. I don't think I've ever received a royalty check from anime. For the original animations, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's really where that longevity kind of lives?
Yes, for sure. But video games, no. It's usually like a buyout rate.
Right.
Conventions are the royalties. That's what we say in the biz.
I'm so excited to go to my first convention.
That was your first convention.
I've been to Comic-Con years ago, and they had the Batman car and the Flintstones car, but I haven't been to a convention like this.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm shooting with Hell of a Boss and has been, and they're a big part of the... Yeah. I'm so excited to be part of that.
It's going to be so much fun.
That's going to be so cool.
In Las Vegas.
You did 70 conventions in 2021.
I did. That's
that's a low number.
So that's my total for post-COVID.
Okay.
So from like September 2021 to now.
Okay.
So like, what is that? Not quite 4 years, like 3 years.
And is that all over the world?
Yeah.
What crowd goes the craziest at these conventions?
Oh, man. Texas. There's so many conventions in Texas, and the people show up every time. Yeah, Texas, and here too, Long Beach was my that 7-hour line that we had.
Do people buy time slots for it?
I think some actors do that. I'm not quite at that level. But no, people just wait in line.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see your line.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited. I'm ready. It's been a whole 2 weeks without a convention.
Do you have a favorite character that you like to do?
Favorite character? I think Ladybug might be my favorite right now. Just cause we've been doing it. It's like the longest character I've had. So it's just fairly easy to like slip right in to the voice and, yeah. It's just like not in my head at all, you know, just you could just go in and do it.
What's a work schedule like for Ladybug nowadays?
Right now we are on like, we finished season 5. We haven't started season 6 yet, but every once in a while a project will be in. Like we did a special and we did another project that I can't talk about just last week. But usually the recording, it's not crazy. It's like a 4-hour session every couple weeks.
And do you kind of know what it's for? So for example, like, okay, we're going to do a little commercial for today. And then next week we're going to be doing a full episode. And then there's a bonus episode for YouTube.
Yeah, they'll usually like lump it together. It's like, oh, we're doing episodes today. Or we're doing a game, or we're doing a commercial, or we're doing the movie. So it's because it's like different rates and everything too. So it's all like separate.
And then there's a vocal director there as well to read off those lines when you're in a group act.
So for that one, we are looking at the show is a little unique. It's a French animated show. But in France, they have two actors who record the script in English and they animate to them. So we're replacing an already existing English track.
Oh, so you have the beat points already of what you have to hit.
So we're looking at it and we're dubbing it that way.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
What was your first time seeing it in real life here? Was it on TV?
My first time. No, it wasn't on TV. It must have been just during the sessions because we'll have the animation up. I can't tell you the first time I saw an episode. It might not have been until much later.
Did you know it was something special when you...
Yes. When I was reading for it, I told the director, and he will attest to this, I'm like, I feel like this could be this generation's Sailor Moon. Like, it has all those elements, and it's beautiful. And I thought maybe I'll get, like, Tiki or the Mean Girl, you know? So I was very, very happy and ecstatic to learn that I would be playing Ladybug.
Yeah, when you find that out,
yeah.
Is there a celebration that you do?
Oh, my gosh. I have this a streak of being at Disneyland or Disney World when I book a big part, and I was at Disney World.
And you got the call?
And I got the email, and I was like, oh my God. But no, I won't have like a party, but I'll be very, very happy for sure.
That's so cool.
Because I can't tell anybody. It's like, this is a secret for a year or two, you know?
And you're the voice on the videos that have upwards of 150 million views.
It's a lot of people, yeah.
What is the fandom like of Ladybug?
Sweet. They're very sweet. Ladybug, it's always an interesting mix of people, and I have to be very careful at convention tables because I'll have like, you know, teenagers or like adults in their 20s, 30s, and beyond coming up for a hell of a boss. And then behind them will be like a child, like a 7-year-old. So it's always like this, oh my God. yeah, but it's people of all ages. And I've never met a rude, like probably not never met a rude fan at a convention ever.
How do you know what booth to go to?
Oh, it'll be the one with my big face.
Oh, no, sorry. I mean for you. Because you have such an extensive list of shows that you've worked on.
Like a studio?
Like, is there ever a Ladybug booth or a Hell of a Boss booth? Or is it always just the Christina booth?
Oh, it's always the Christina booth.
Oh.
So they'll have, like, the actors all in one area. We'll all have a booth with hopefully two tables with all our prints. And everybody has their own lines and their own price sheets. And everybody has to... you know, wait in each individual line.
What character do you think you're most like?
I don't know. That's It's really hard.
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck. I love playing Donald Duck, by the way. There's a mixture, I think. I think I could be very Ladybug Marinette-ish. I could also, I mean, truthfully, I could probably be most compared to Verossica from Hell of a Boss. I think people are shocked when they go on my Instagram. They're like, "You're Ladybug?" I'm like, yeah. I used to like, yeah. They're like, "What?" Like, this is, I'm, you know, I don't have your kids follow me. Not that I post anything bad. I just, I don't only post about Ladybug, you know, like I have my own life as a grown woman. So there's that.
We were speaking earlier about Verossica's vulgarity.
Yes.
When you see a script like that, are you excited that it kind of brings you out of a different realm?
Yeah, it's, I mean, and I've done some pretty crazy anime, one called Konosuba. I don't know if you heard of it. My character is a, what is she called? Is she called a masochist? It's all parody, so it's really over the top. It's so funny, but it's definitely not for kids. yeah, so I just think that Hell of a Boss is definitely the highest profile show where people hear me cussing and they're like, "Marinette, ooh, you said a bad word." You know, although I don't think they sound too much alike, but people, you know, people are really good at telling.
Yeah.
How
many more seasons are left of Hell of a Boss?
I don't know.
Are you part of any future episodes?
We have a big Verossica heavy episode coming up, I think, in summer. And then I got to record a little for season 3 as well.
What's the timeline of you recording a Hell of a Boss episode versus when it comes out?
I think it's about a year.
So do you even remember what you're saying at that point?
I don't remember what I'm saying, but I remember what the episode was about. And it was really, it's a good one.
And when you see a song on your list for the day.
Yes.
What do you prepare for that?
I try to learn it as much as possible. Sometimes it's not possible to learn an entire song, but I've gotten really good again at that because the past couple years I've been doing a lot of session singing. So I'll get the song, I'll listen to it a few times, at least have the melody down, and then we'll go in and work on it. I just did a song yesterday. I had 6 choruses and yeah.
How long was the song?
The song was 1:45. But depending on what path you take with this particular character, she will sing a different version of the song. So there were 6 different versions of the song that we recorded. Yeah, it was cool.
What got you into anime right from the beginning?
I think growing up with Sailor Moon and then loving Pokemon. And then a girl in middle school was like, "That's not anime. This is anime." And she gave me a VHS tape and it had like a bunch of episodes of different anime shows. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is incredible." It was really cool.
Have you ever met Ash Ketchum?
Yeah. I've met both of them, Veronica Taylor and Sarah Natajani. They're both lovely.
Who do you look up to in the voice acting world?
Tara Strong. I love Tara Strong. I've always looked up to her. She's so talented and beautiful and powerful. And Gray Delisle, same. And E.G. Daily, Cree Summer.
Icons.
Yeah, I love them all. And then just so many voice actors. Abby Trott, I love Susie Young and Erica Mendez, Faye Mata, everybody. I love them so much. Everybody just, I feel like it's such a cool community where there's not really any cattiness. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't met somebody who it's like, "Oh my gosh, ego." You know, everybody's just so chill. And of course, we all want to work. We want the parts. But when I see somebody get a part that I want, it's like, "Oh, that's so awesome." It's like, "All right, I'm going to work hard so I can get the next one," you know? Yeah.
Are there any parts that you wish that you really got? No disrespect to the person who got it, yeah. But you were just like, "This character's so cool. I would love to be part of this project."
Oh my God. Basically, any main female protagonist in any of the biggest shows in the past 10 years I've read for. So if that's not me, then you can bet I'd be like, "Man, that would have been so cool."
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
Have you ever done a big Disney movie?
A big Disney movie. I haven't been in a Disney feature. That's like my goal. Like, I was just thinking about that on the way here. I'm like, ah, oh, that's what I want. I want to sing in a Disney feature. But I did. I am working on a Disney show, a couple Disney shows right now, and they let me sing.
When you say we're working on, these are shows in development?
Yes. So one is coming out in June. It's called Primos, and that's a really fun show. Very excited to be part of that. It's so funny. It's so heartfelt. It has an amazing soundtrack, and that's pretty much all I can say about it, I think.
Where does that show come out? Disney Plus?
I think it's going to be on Disney Channel, Disney Plus. Yeah. I'm really excited. That's my first time being like a series regular.
Congrats.
On a Disney show. Thank you.
That's so cool.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Low key question.
Yes.
I might have saw online.
Yes.
You could be part of a ride at Disneyland. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk. They've never said don't talk about it, but I've talked to other actors like, we can't talk about that. I'm like, really?
Because they want it to be mysterious?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hmm.
I know. I mean, it's out there. Like, everybody knows it's me. I'll get messages from time to time like, we heard you on this ride. I'm like, yeah, it's just, you know, my voice is, my, like I said, that little accent thing. People know when it's me.
Do you have lines in it?
Yes. So for this attraction, a Disney World.
Okay.
Disney World.
Okay,
yeah.
Go off.
It's really cool. Yeah, I'm the voice that's like, all right, please stand on your number, or we're scanning now, like that kind of voice.
And, oh, I can't wait to go and listen for it.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. Like, that was another like bucket list item for me. And I found out that I booked that when I was at Disney World on vacation.
That's cool.
Yeah.
For that, where do you go for that? Just a regular studio?
We went, I think I recorded that one on the Disney campus in Glendale. Like I got to go to Imagineering.
Is that where you do Ladybug too?
Ladybug, we do at a studio called Dubbing Brothers. It's by Portos. It's like connected to the Portos building. That's where we record Ladybug.
In Burbank?
In Burbank, yeah.
I love Portos.
Yeah, right?
Oh, cool.
It's perfect. Like, go get some cheese balls and record Ladybug. And then next door to that is where we record Final Fantasy. It's all connected right there.
What's it like recording a video game versus a TV show or a movie?
There's more freedom, really, sometimes, especially when it's anime compared to a video game, because we're not like trying to match flaps. But that's pretty much it.
Is there a script for a video game? Because there's so many different levels and different parts of the game. Are you aware of what you're saying when you're recording it?
Yeah. So all it looks like is an Excel sheet, you know, it'll be like this character's line, your line, this character's line, your line, you know, and the director will help with all the context and stuff. But yeah, it's just voice acting is just looking at Excel sheets for hours on end and reading and acting for the first time seeing these words.
What's the most amount of shows that you've recorded in 1 week?
I'm not sure. Gosh.
Do you do multiple a day?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually like two a day. But there was one point during the pandemic. I don't even keep track anymore. After that year, I think it was 2022. I did 400 sessions that year.
Wait, what?
400 voice. And it was all from home in my booth.
More than one a day.
That was definitely.
And you're
more
traveling,
than one.
So you're probably doing three a day, two a day?
Well, I wasn't traveling. Wait, 2022. Maybe I was traveling.
You probably were.
Maybe it was 2021.
I'm going to hype you up.
It's
so
probably
high.
2021, if that's the case. Gosh, time is just passing by. Yeah, it was 400 sessions at the end of the year. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, that's a lot of vocal strain. It's a lot of being in my booth, you know? But it was, I'm really proud of it. But I can't tell you how many sessions I worked in a day, because sometimes it was like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night just. And I was directing at that time. So
directing what? Shows?
Video games.
Video
and
games.
Shows.
How do you direct a video game?
I'll be the one giving the context or reading the lines in, choosing takes. A lot of times I just finished casting a game. And that's a whole other career. And I had to kind of step back from that, honestly, because the 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. was just, it was too much after a while, you know? Like, maybe one day I'll revisit it, but right now I feel like it's my creating years, so I want to make as want to do as much acting as possible.
For someone unfamiliar with the craft, the amount of shows that you do is kind of unheard of, right?
I think so.
You're definitely on the higher scale of the amount of things that you've done.
I mean, definitely. My boyfriend is on camera. And, you know, it's different for an on-camera actor. Like, you'll work a few times a year, and that's great. That's a lot. You're doing multiple shows. You're on location. That's a lot of time spent. So when he found out that I had over 500 credits, he was like, how? I don't understand. I'm like, I get to audition every day. I get to work every single day. I'm not physically on location. Like, my appearance doesn't matter. It's wonderful. It's like the best job ever.
Do you think voice acting is better than
on camera?
On camera acting, yeah.
No, it's definitely, they're both very different.
Not better. Do you prefer it?
I prefer it, yes. I've always been like voice over acting focused. And I think that's a kind of new concept. Usually people would be like, oh, did you not make it in on camera? It's like, no, this is what I want to do. And I feel like a lot of the top voice actors right now, this is all they wanted to do. It's its own thing. I give a lot of kudos to on camera actors because that is so hard. Oh my gosh. I just started finally auditioning for like mocap jobs, which is on, you know, it's on camera auditions. And it's a completely different game.
Would you be the video game character, or would
I wasn't auditioning because I just didn't know how. Like, what do I do? What's the framing? What are the casting directors look for? So I was like passing on these auditions, but I really wanted to do it. So I started taking classes. My boyfriend Carlos has been helping me out. He's a great coach, and I've been submitting these on camera auditions, and it feels new and it feels scary. And I'm like, this is exactly what I need right now.
Have you landed anything yet?
Not yet, but I've come close. I've come really close to some big roles in the past, like top three for some major characters. So I think I'll be able to book something good.
What would be the dream video game franchise you could be part of?
Resident Evil. I would love that.
That's cool.
Right, that'd be so cool. Well, I'm technically in Resident Evil, but the movies, the animated movies, but yeah, I want to be in a game.
It'll happen.
I think it will.
With anime, there's a big sub versus dubbed culture.
Yeah. My life story.
Do you ever get feedback on that from people?
You know, used to, but not so much these days.
These days as in these recent years? Like people have kind of let it go?
These recent years, I feel like I don't hear too much about the dub versus sub debate. Like, at least people aren't, like, very heated about it anymore, you know? I think English voice acting has come to a new place where it's a little bit more respected. And people like having the options, or, you know, some people just don't want to read it, or they're not able to and they want to hear it. So I think people realize, like, okay, there's a place for both. Like, we need both.
Where do you stand on that? Do you watch shows with...
I will watch it subbed, because if I'm watching dub now, I'm like, oh, that's Sharmi. That's Christine. That's Sarah. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not paying attention to the show.
Right.
It's like, this is just work again, you know? Yeah.
Who wins in a fight? Killua or Sailor Mars?
Killua.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
If you've seen Sailor Moon, you'll notice that their attacks only land, like the Sailor Guardians, not Sailor Moon. Their attacks only land the first time they get it. Then it's like this big thing, like, yeah, I got a new power. And then the rest of the time, like, oh, no, I missed. Sailor Moon, you know? But Kilo is just like, I'm going to rip out your heart. Like, he has no remorse. I'm sorry, Sailor Mars, but yeah. Do you know that they're married, the creators of Sailor Moon and Hunter x Hunter?
In real life. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
That's
cool.
They're
a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a quote that fans request of you for either of those shows?
Oh my gosh, the amount of times I say this in a weekend, not killing people is really hard. They love, every Funko Pop is that. And then, in the name of Mars, I'll chastise you.
Is it crazy for people from your youth, high school and stuff, to see you on that show?
Oh my gosh. I went to my college reunion recently. And I had like a crazy graduating class, like Yoshi Sidarso. Well, he wasn't in my graduating class. We're in the same program, though. He became went on to become a Power Ranger, and he does a ton of film acting now. But also, oh my gosh, we weren't friends, but I always knew him. He was a cool kid. His name is Ray, and he just finished being the lead on Quantum Leap. But we were all in that same. I think he was a year above me, and Yoshi was a year below me. So it's cool to see what people have done. You know, that's the cool part about getting older is you get to see people become themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I went to my college reunion, and I wasn't. College was a little tough for me. I was already voice acting. I wasn't there much. I was still learning how to act. So I wasn't like a cool kid. Not that I was uncool, but like going back, I definitely felt like a cool kid. I'm like, oh, this is a little different, you know? Like, I think I feel very proud, and I think people have only expressed like being proud of me and being happy for me. So it's been really cool.
What were you going to school for?
Theater. Yeah, because I wanted to do voiceover, so I'm like, this is the closest thing there is, theater.
And then how many years did you end up doing?
Oh, man, how many years did I do? I had to take a little bit of time off. I think I graduated in like 4.5. Yeah.
My school didn't really do anything for me.
Really?
No, I went for filmmaking.
Oh, yeah?
They taught me like Avid, but I've never used Avid in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone else in the industry was using Premiere and like switching over even just to Final Cut, but I felt like it didn't really help much.
I hung out with the film kids a lot.
You did?
Yeah. They liked using me in their short films.
Yeah, you would have been perfect. They, I would have put you in everything.
I did a lot of short films.
Can you grunt one more time?
Yeah, it was cool. But one time, they had Mark Hamill coming to speak to the film kids only. Mark Hamill. So my film friends were like, Christina, just sneak in with us. So I got to meet Mark Hamill, and he was so incredibly sweet. And he was like, hey, he's like, I don't recommend going into this career for anybody. He's like, but if you're going to do it, like, go kill it. You know, he was very sweet, but very like, this is hard. I'm like, yeah, I know. Flash forward to years later, I reached out to him on Twitter and I said, hey, I had a picture of us. I'm like, this is me back then. I just want to let you know I made it. And he responded very sweetly. And he even said, like, I always tell people don't do this, but, you know, I'm so happy that you went for it and that you're doing well. And that was like, oh, top 10 moment of my life.
That's the coolest.
I love Mark Hamill. He's so cool.
Do you ever see him at cons?
Not him. I've met a lot of my heroes, though, for sure.
Like who?
Oh, man. Let me see. Who have I met recently? Tara Strong, of course. I've done a lot of conventions together. A lot of on-camera people. The Firefly cast. I love all those guys.
What about anyone that you ended up meeting at the cons?
I met Trish Stratus.
Oh, I saw that photo.
I love her. She's another woman who I'm just like, yes,
my childhood
queen, really. Yeah. Yeah, and she's so lovely and so sweet. And a bunch of on-camera actors who I've become close friends with. It kind of feels like we're all in the circus sometimes, like we're traveling and we're the entertainment, you know, because it's just a lot of the same people from convention to convention, and I've made some really great friends along the way.
Do you think cons are blowing up now more than ever?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's just from my voice acting perspective, but I think people during the pandemic really watched a lot of media. And I think like because it was such a weird, scary time, I think that it helped a lot of people make it through. And also, like, especially those first couple of years, people are just excited to be around other people again, you know? So it's really blown up.
What characters have you voiced have helped the people the most?
Killua, I feel, is a big one. Ladybug, I get a lot of. And also this guy. People love Hawk.
What does Hawk sound like?
I'm Sir Hawk.
When you're doing the voices, do you almost feel like you just gave, I don't want to say birth, but something that's going to last a long time?
I really hope so. One of my friends, Natalie, told me that. She's like, you have like a legacy now. And I was like, I didn't think about that. I was so focused for so long. I was just so focused on like booking and working. And now that I'm a bit, you know, established, I feel like, not that it ever ends, but I think like if I were not to work again, I'd be very proud of what I was able to accomplish.
Is there an end goal for what you want to do?
Oh, man. I want to keep doing this forever, the voice acting part. I think the traveling is a little bit physically stressful, and it takes away from time with friends. So there is an end date for that. I'm giving myself a little bit more time for the traveling, at least for now. But I hope that I can continue voiceover acting, maybe even on camera acting forever.
I want to see you do the motion cap stuff.
Me too. I would love that. I'm working on it. It's exciting to have something like new to work towards.
Yeah. Do you have one at your house?
No.
Because that's like a big thing, right?
Yeah. That's like suits with like dots, and like you have to be in a special space and you're like plugged in through all these wires. That's really more about getting comfortable being in my own skin. And yeah, it was this whole thing at this class I took with an amazing like mocap director who's done a ton of big stuff, where it was like, I'm so good at using my voice and emoting that way, but it's like, what do I do with the rest of my body? Like, no, I'm so used to like this, you know, this is comfortable for me because like, hey, here's the microphone. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
8 hours a day, you know?
Was there a crazy audition or anything when you got Sailor Moon?
Yes. So the audition process for Sailor Moon was, I got the audition sides from Studiopolis, and that was my first time ever hearing from them. I saw it was for Sailor Moon. I cried. That's the only normal reaction to have when you get your dream project.
Genuinely cried.
I was like, I was crying. My friend was like, what's wrong? I'm like, I just got an audition for my dream project. And he's like, isn't that a good thing? I'm like, yes.
You don't get it. It's perfect.
It's amazing. So I read for all of them. I got a call back for Luna and Sailor Moon. And I think I didn't know what it was. Like, they didn't say it was for the original series that we're redubbing it. I thought it was for a new series. So I think I played it a little bit like more contemporary and cool, like thinking it's going to be like the new anime style where everything's a little bit more subdued. And I read for Luna, and the casting director was like, well, you just ruined my casting. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, all right, Christina. I'm like, thank you. What does that mean? You know, but what he meant was, my Luna voice that I did was perfect for Sailor Mars. So he submitted that as my Sailor Mars re-audition. And that's the one I booked. And they didn't tell us who we booked. They didn't say who else was in it. We showed up to Anime Expo. We all were told, like, they said, Christina, wear red. I'm like, okay.
So then you had an idea of who you might be?
I'm like, I didn't want to believe it because I didn't want to be hurt. But they're like, I hope you like red. Make sure to wear red. And they're like, yes, you're Sailor Mars. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So I couldn't tell anybody. We're all under super hush-hush NDA. I invited my mom and my sister. Like, we're going to a Sailor Moon panel. They're like, oh, that's wonderful. Your favorite childhood show. We would love to go watch this panel with you. So they came and they had no idea.
Oh, they think you're just
watching it. Yeah. I'm like, I have to go backstage. And so when I came out, my sister was like, I thought you were like going to be like presenting the panel, like you were going to be the host. And they were just shocked and to find out that I was in the show. It was so cool.
That's so cool.
It was really like a crazy, awesome moment.
Was your family always supportive of this?
You know, when I was younger, first starting out, they really wanted the best for me. You know, and you don't, you know, we live in LA our whole lives. So we always heard about like struggling actors and struggling artists, and you know, I was always like valedictorian and, you know, super academic-y. So my mom, I think she thought I was gonna be like a doctor or something. So at first she was like, I don't want you to do this. I'm like, I'm gonna do it. She's like, can you like get a double major? I'm like, no. I was like, I'm all or nothing. But after a while, I think she, you know, definitely now they're very proud and they're happy that I went through with it.
So you've always had this hustle?
Always. Yeah. When I was in high school, I started voice acting when I was in high school, like going to sessions.
And were you landing anything then?
I was landing like Walla, which is just like background noises. And then occasionally they'll give me like a one or two line character, you know?
Yeah.
But I wasn't landing big things until, well, I say that like it was this long period of time, but the truth is, It only took 3 years for them to start trusting me with lead roles. But in my mind, that's like a big gap that I was like struggling. Like, can I please go in? Can I, do you need another voice? You know? Yeah. But I think I was 19 when they're like, we have a lead role for you, you know?
Is there a story how you landed Hunter Hunter?
Hunter Hunter was just, it was just another audition. Just read for it. I was like, this guy is cool. It'd be so awesome. But I hadn't booked like a major boy voice before. My inspiration for boy voices, I'm like, how would Erica Mendez do this? And so I don't know if she knows this story, but my boy voice is based off of her boy voice because she has the best. And she booked Gone and I booked Kilua. And I think I just moved out because we used to live together at that point. So, yeah, that's how I booked him.
Did you audition for him?
Yes. I auditioned for Gone, Kurapika, and Kilua.
And then is it harder for you to audition for a boy?
Nah, not anymore.
It doesn't work like that?
No. It's just who the casting director... Because it's never, for anime especially, it's never like an open call. It's like the casting director knows you and knows the voices and your range. And then if you're lucky, they'll think like, maybe Christina can read for this, you know?
How many things right now in this moment are super NDA hush-hush that you can't talk about?
Oh, so many things.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. Like, I can't even think of stuff. The only thing I can think of that's coming out right now off the top of my head is that Disney show, because that was announced last year. But there's a lot. There's a lot more animation. And I just wrapped a couple video games and anime. And I have things coming up this week. You know, I try not to think about it too much until it's out.
When you're playing a video game or if you're just watching something like The Sims, are you just trying to nail that voice too?
Oh, yeah, always. I never played The Sims, though. I hear it's pretty fun.
You said the coolest thing was that you had a goal in mind for how big you wanted your IMDb to be.
Yes.
What's that number? Because right now, we're at 497.
Yes.
Where do you want it to be?
1,000.
Do you know anyone else that has that many credits?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, a lot of the bigger voice actors. Again, I'm going to bring her up. Tara Strong, definitely.
Oh, right.
Maurice LaMarche, of course. I wonder how much they have. Probably so many.
So many.
Yeah, I've definitely seen other VO actors with 1,000 and beyond, you know?
So when you were watching animation as a kid, were you always more interested in who the voice actors were?
No. When I was a kid, like, until you have, like, that epiphany, like, oh, that's not real, it's a person. You know, I was just very into, like, the animation. And I just, like, all those Disney movies and Sailor Moon and all that. I don't know, I was just drawn to it.
Getting to play young Donald Duck?
Yes.
What was that like?
That was crazy. That was like one of my party tricks. You know, like I can sound like Huey, Dewey, and Louie, like Uncle Scrooge. Like just like I've always done that. So that audition came around and they wanted a voice match for Russi Taylor, who's the voice of Donald and also Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And I read for it and they straight to cast. I didn't have to do a callback or anything. And I was very excited because I'm a big Doctor Who fan and David Tennant is Scrooge. So I was really hoping we'd be in a group record, but we weren't. It was just me, which is fine. But it's still so cool to see that episode and to hear like these great talents and to be acting off of David Tennant's Scrooge McDuck and to have been able to do this voice match for Russi Taylor, who is like one of the greatest of all time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going now from here?
I'm definitely going to do mocap. I want to be in more original animations. And on the music side, I'm going to keep on releasing more and more music.
On your Spotify?
On my Spotify, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been so cool getting to see how everything works. And
thank you.
Your work is so long and so cool.
Thank
and
you so,
so
much.
Incredible. So. Thanks. Yeah. Guys, go check out Christina Shigaman down below. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't yet. And yeah, thanks so much.
Yay.
Flyweights out. That was great.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Can I just grab thumbnails of you?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. I'll catch you guys later on the next episode of Flyweights Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.